Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we all grapple with in this conversation with a reluctant therapist. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Happy Tuesday, Hank.
What's happening?
I want you to add great hugger.
I can do that with honesty.
Yeah, because we started this afternoon with a great hug.
Yep.
And I hugged you for a little longer than you probably were comfortable for. Sorry, Dara. Because I feel like we've gotten to that place after 10 years of friendship that I can give you that little extra time of
sure.
a hug. Yeah. But it's interesting. Hugging, we don't talk about hugging very often as a social activity or as a social norm. You know, we all know what hugging is. It's kind of a universal showing of comfort or of love, or we greet someone, hey, here's a bro hug. But we don't often talk about the actual physical, mental, emotional benefits of hugging. There's a true art to hugging and being able to read social cues to know how long to hug someone or what kind of hug is appropriate in that moment, because there are at least 15 different types of hugs that we can utilize in contact with other people. And one of the things that's disappointing in our lack of conversation about hugging is that one of the primary things that we can point to in our struggle as a culture for connection or healing divides or feeling love or maintaining our mental health is our lack of hugging. That over the course of the last 50 years, and certainly over the course of the last 25 years that I've been practicing in the mental health field, we have become more disconnected from any show of affection in professional world or in our private world or definitely in schools. That the idea that two people would show any affection or hug has become verboten. And then, of course, when we have the culture of the Me Too movement, then the whole lines and boundaries and professional space become really important. And so it's really challenging to talk about hugging. But I had an experience last week. It was a life-changing experience. So I was with, I'm not trying to describe how much of the information, but I was in my doctor's office with her nurse, Chantel, whom I've known for probably 10 years or so professionally as my nurse. And we were having a conversation. I got kind of emotional in the conversation. And without even thinking, she stood up and she hugged me and really like a great hug. And, you know, I'm a larger woman. So to have someone who can really give me a great hug is such a wonderful feeling. And she hugged me in the moment. And I felt so good. But then she like really hugged, like she held on to me and just said such nice things. And in that extra amount of time of the hugging, I felt, and I don't laugh, Hank, I know you're thinking it, but my heart cracked open, like in this really profound way of just feeling totally seen and loved and truly embraced and held in that moment. It was phenomenal. And it wasn't planned and it wasn't forced and it was supernatural and it was super important. And I've just been carrying that feeling this whole week. And I actually went back to the office the next day because I just wanted to tell her how life-affirming that experience had been and how much it meant to me and how healing, like of all the, you know, medical interventions you could think of in the world. And I've been a therapist for 25 years and all the therapies I understand, that instance was as healing, if not more healing, than any experience I'd had. So I want to talk about hugging. Can you think of a profound hugging experience that you've had?
Well, that one you gave me when you got in here was, I don't know if I'd call it profound, but it was better than average.
Thank you. I'm feeling the love.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, you know, especially in the recent years, it's become a fine line. Mutually desired would be a good benchmark to determine between you know, desired and creepy.
Yes.
I love hugging. Most of my male friends, not so much. And, you know, there's a couple that if I tried to give them a hug, they like back off. I'm like, what the hell are you trying to do? But, you know, that's how they were brought up, I guess. So whatever.
It is. There's a lot of lines and boundaries and cultural stories. And, you know, my family hugs, my immediate family, I think I hug all over my girls all the time. And having a granddaughter, you know, you think the greatest thing about having a grandchild is you see, you know, that love again. It's getting to squeeze and hug on them, you know, without any boundaries. So I would say my immediate family is huggers, but my extended family that I grew up in, we were huggers, but not in that like really emotional hugging way. Maybe it's
just like, hey, good to see you again.
Yes.
Quickie. Yeah.
Yeah, I love you. Yeah, yeah, more a little quickie. I was looking into like the 15 different styles of hugs, and we were more like, yeah, I love you. You're part of my, we're in the same group. We're part of the same family, but not the hang on to you. You are immersed in the space. And I also think as I got older, like when I went into my adolescence and, you know, my body started to develop and all of a sudden that hugging becomes a little strange with your dad. And so I remember kind of me pulling the cord on that, wanting to hug my dad. From when I was a little kid, I would just like lay on him and crawl up his sweater and just hang all over him. But I can remember that divide when I went into adolescence. Where I was like, ooh, I can't hug my dad like that. That's kind of creepy. And he honored that, you know, but I miss that. Like now when I see my dad, I just, because he's, you know, the biggest person in my life still, that I can really hug on my dad because he's like a big bear. And that's just a great feeling. And it's different and it's changed in a really nice way. But were you a hugging family? Did you grow up with that?
Definitely my mother and I. My dad, not so much. He was always working, so I didn't get to see him a lot. But yeah, more as I was older, like when I went to college and things, just more of a hello and goodbye, but not just like, hey, you know, we've been together for 2 hours, let's hug, you know, that kind of thing. It's more of a greeting, I guess you would say.
Yeah, but. And I think we do use hugging quite often as a greeting to say we're closer than handshake friends,
yeah,
but we're not lovers. So.
Yeah, and it was with my dad, it was more perfunctory, whereas my mom, I got some pleasure out of it. With my dad, I was like, okay, got to do this.
And then there is that time in our life when we hit adolescence or in the early 20s, where the kind of that sexual embrace kind of gets thrown in there, and so then we have to start being able to put up our own, you know, that energy that we put out there. I don't want to send the wrong sign. I don't want to hug in such a way that gives someone the wrong message. At least as a woman, I felt that, you know, I didn't want to hug in a provocative way. I don't know if men think about it in such, but I think one of the things that has happened over, you know, I don't know if we ever were a culture that over-hugged, you know, we tend to be more of a Puritan culture. And so I think we've always, in some ways, compared to other cultures in the world, lacked in our hugging. As a matter of fact, Virginia Satir, who is my idol, and she was a therapist in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s, she brought the feeling to the world of psychotherapy, because early family therapy, some of the early practitioners, mostly white men, they looked at family therapy as kind of a structural thing. We need the parents to be in charge and the kids to follow the rules, and then everybody will do well. But Virginia Satir came in and said, wait a second, that's one piece of it. We also need to have people feel good about being a member of the family, that emotionally they have to feel seen and heard and felt. And she actually introduced this idea that you need a minimum of 4 hugs a day just to survive. Then you need 8 hugs a day for maintenance, just to kind of hold your own. And then if you really want to have growth in a relationship, you need 12 hugs a day. Hmm. That if you want to be able to grow as an individual, as a person, that 12 hugs a day is what it takes to keep your heart open. Do you think you get 12 hugs a day?
Not even close.
Because then I wonder, like, how many times do you hug Dara, you think, in a day?
Probably once.
Okay.
And that's only if we're both standing.
Like, you need to up your game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, probably 4 times a week or so.
Yeah, you definitely need to up the game. Because what they found, so Virginia Satir introduced this, and then what they found in research, of course, is that we release oxytocin when we hug. And oxytocin is a bonding hormone that makes us feel connected to someone. It kind of reintroduces us to each other. It also releases dopamine and serotonin, which are mood enhancers that make us feel better, make us feel good. So there's that physical piece. There was a study done at the University of North Carolina where they found that women who had contact with their spouses, you know, they were hugging them, that lowered their blood pressure and improved their oxytocin. So they've done physical studies to show that our blood pressure improves, our heart improves, our mood improves. There are so many benefits to hugging. But unfortunately, when you have to deal with inappropriate touching or people who have crossed the line, that we found ourselves in a huge conundrum as a society, that we know as clinicians and as human beings that hugging is essential, that we need to have that human contact. They've actually gone as far to name deprivation from hugging skin hunger. And it's absolutely like a condition. Skin hunger is our physical need, is our need for physical contact, and that we search for that. And some of the research has suggested that part of our blackout drinking hookup sexual culture we see on college campuses has to do with skin hunger. And so I feel conflicted with that as well, because when I'm on campus, we have a no-touch policy across the board. You know, a student can ask me for a hug, but there is a no-touch policy. But I can tell you as a clinician and being able to read my students so often that for many of them, that's what they need, is that warm embrace to feel held and safe and connected so their heart can open. But instead, now we're reduced to saying, hey, I see you're struggling. Maybe you should go see a counselor. And then we get them into that health center, and the first thing they want to do is medicate them. Yeah. And maybe it could have been fixed with a hug. So that's on my mind today.
Okay.
And I want to open up the phone lines and have a general conversation about a couple of things. One, can you remember a profound hug that you had in your life, what that experience was like? And then what kind of hugger are you? And I'm going to talk about the different types of hugs there are. And if you aren't a hugger, why? Why is that something that you're not comfortable with? I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist, and you can be part of the conversation by joining us at 805-781-3875. You can always send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can follow us on our Facebook page or on my Instagram, elizabeth_TRT. Today there's a couple photos of me hugging my granddaughter and my granddaughter hugging my daughter, so puts you in the hugging mood. You can listen to previous shows by visiting kcbx.org, and you can podcast our show and share it with others by finding podcasts, Apple Podcasts, search for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, hit subscribe, and then the show will be uploaded. You can listen to your convenience. And if you take a little time to leave a review, then the show gets some traction and other people can find us. So I look forward to seeing where our conversation goes with us today. We'll be back to take your calls. Hank, make sure you come in and get another hug. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. I want to hug you and kiss you, squeeze you to my arms, follow. I want to hug you and kiss you, squeeze you to my arms, follow. Do you know about that, baby, and I love you so. Well, come a little closer, you see just what I mean. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and we are talking about hugging today. Are you a hugger? And what kind of experiences have you had hugging? Can you remember a profound hugging experience, something that really opened you up or changed your life? I opened the show talking about a phenomenal hug that I received last week, and I've just been thinking about it this whole week. I couldn't wait to come on the air and talk about it, because even though I feel like I'm a loving, open person, and as a therapist, I feel like I'm empathic and I can hold space for my clients. Wow. To get hugged in a way that you really feel loved is overwhelming. And it reminded me of an experience I had probably 10 or 15 years ago. I'd have to have my girls remind me what exactly this was. But my friend James Baldwin contacted us and said, hey, I've been traveling with this woman. She's the hugging saint from India. She's an Amma. And we're going to have a special gathering, and you're all going to get hugs from the Amma. And would you like to come? And I said, well, absolutely. Any sort of love we can gather will come. And so we had this kind of small, intimate gathering at his family home, and my girls were with me, and my husband, and myself. And we started with a kind of a gathering around a circle and a little ritual, talk about the experience. And you could see, you know, this, you wanted to hug the Amma. She is a huggable human being, and she opens her heart in these hugs in a way that can be transformative or healing for others. And we can talk about, you know, the chakras and the energy and that chain exchange of energy. But what was interesting about the experience was I remember the hug very well, and it was long. It's like felt like a 20-second hug. Could have only been 8 seconds, but it felt like one of those hugs that goes on for a long time. And she actually kind of stroked my back a little bit and kind of whispered or hummed what sounded like a chant in my ear. And I left that experience, and I felt kind of that opening, that wide opening experience. But what was interesting is that it was in a way a little bit overwhelming, in such that I wasn't quite sure what to do with all of this energy that was kind of coursing through me. And I could feel myself in some ways shutting a couple doors or a few doors from the experience that I had, that it was almost too much, that I wasn't prepared for it in a way. And I hadn't really thought about it until last week, when I had the same hug, and that my heart kind of opened up and felt kind of alive and warm. And now I just want to keep hugging everyone I see, that I haven't shut those doors, that those doors have remained open. And it's interesting because over the summer, you know, I'm getting ready for school, and I've been reading some books about love and openness and the self, and it keeps kind of going back to my theme of the summer seems to be about love, and that we are all just energies of love if we pay attention to what is happening, that love exists, and that we are living for sharing that. I don't want to get too deep into that, but it just has all kind of come to the surface this week. And I was thinking about other people's experience with hugging. Does everyone have that same kind of, do you sense it in your chest, or do you sense it in your heart when someone really hugs you? Have you ever been hugged in such a way that you felt like you had opened and were receiving? Or have you ever hugged someone with all the love you could muster and really feel like you passed on to them that love you were feeling? As a clinician, it's, as I mentioned, it's challenging because I think in many cases, a really good heartfelt embrace would do wonders for my clients or for my students. But the limits of our professional relationships, you know, keep that from happening. And so as a default, you know, we really lean heavily on empathy. We talk a lot about empathy in the world of psychotherapy, and that we want to feel empathy for others, which is different than sympathy. Sympathy is you feel sorry for someone. You feel sorrow for their experience. Empathy means I haven't had the experience you're having, but I've had experiences where I felt sadness or grief or happiness or joy or concern. And so I can tap into what I experienced in those moments and have empathy for the experience you're having, but I believe that you ultimately will be okay. Empathy seems to be a little more empowering than sympathy. What's a challenge, though, is how do you express that empathy just with your nonverbal cues? We use our eyes, we lean in with our body, we use our tone of voice to express empathy, the way we tilt our head, the way we position our body, that we have to do everything we can physically to hug our clients without physically actually touching them. And that's a challenge, because I often think, oh, if I could just reach in and throw my arms around you in this moment, it would remind you that it's okay to love. It's okay. You're okay. That this whole experience that you're going through is going to be okay. I can't fix it. I can't take it away from you. I can't make it better, and I can't make it so it never happened. Your experience is your experience. But in this moment, I want you to know that I know you're going to be okay, and I will be here with you in that moment. Like a hug, a true hug is a silent expression of deep understanding. So interestingly, when Hank was talking about hugging his male friends, and that, you know, sometimes they're not going to know what to do, or they're kind of looking at him funny, like, why would you be hugging me like this? I found one of my favorite sources of information about hugging this last week from the Mankind Project. And they had posted a beautiful kind of sentiment about hugging. So I wanted to share that with you. The hug is a universal human gesture. We press another person's body into our own to silently convey, I so deeply value your presence that I'm taking this exact moment to feel you, smell you, breathe with you, and essentially stamp your being into my cellular memory. So that even though we may soon be apart, you will in fact always be with me in the living fabric of my existence. Now that's a hug, or maybe more of an embrace. And what would be the difference between just an embrace and a hug? If you're just tuning in, I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and the conversation today is about hugs. And I'm curious to know, what is your experience with hugging? Are you a hugger? When is a time you had a profound experience being hugged? Our number is 805-781-3875. That's 805-781-3875 to be part of the conversation. And I am curious to know what has been your experience. And if you're not a hugger, why? And what can we do as a culture to connect this divide? Because last week I talked about, you know, the things we need to do as a culture to recognize our own capacities for hate, or our own capacities for darkness, in order to realize that what we experience as a culture, we all experience, that we aren't separate, that we are all connected in deep ways, all of us. And that maybe one of the ways we can heal that is more hugging. That sounds a little bit, you know, too 1960s consciousness raising. You know, we've tried to move far away from that. We've in a lot of ways become a really colder, more Puritan, more stoic society. Like when we let go of the summer of love, Woodstock, which was 50 years ago this month, when we left that generation of ideals behind, we left behind hugging, and we left behind affection, and we left behind that opportunity to really throw ourselves into the arms of another human being and say, I'm not that different than you. And so how do we get that back? 805-781-3875 is our number. And Caroline, is that right?
Hello.
Caroline, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Well, you're talking about hugging, and probably about 5 years ago, I was doing Iman Nari Chalk Painting Festival, and this woman talked to me about, we were talking about hugging, or we went to have a hug, and we hugged to the, usually go to the left, mm-hmm. your left shoulder to the, she said, well, then you hug heart to heart, so that's the other side. And when you try to hug someone that way, straight away, you bump heads, you can't do it. But if you hug the typical way first, and then you hold on to them, and then you move heart to heart, it's that connection that's like a real hug. And people, when I would hold on to them and not let go so I could get to heart, they kind of go, oh, because it was like this extended hug that they weren't expecting. So I just thought I'd share that because I think everyone should hug that way.
Well, and I never thought about the physical. I was going to talk about the different styles, but do we naturally then all go in left hug? I'm trying to
picture. You go to hug somebody typically where your body is on your, the right side of your body is mm-hmm. against theirs, but then if you want to have heart to heart, you just kind of pull away a little bit and then shift and then press so that your heart is to their heart. So it's kind of, if you try to go left, heart to heart first, it will be off because nobody really goes that way initially. They go the other way, so you'll bump heads or you can't do it really because I tried it. So that's how I learned to go the traditional way first and then sort of ease over and go left. And I explain to them. And some people that when I see them and I hug, they remember. They go, oh, yeah, heart to heart. So I just wanted to share that because I think it's a great topic that you're discussing. And we need more hugs. And I love the heart to heart because our hearts so much in America, our culture, they're quite closed down. And so it's kind of like this charge.
Well, and I can say that I would imagine for many people, that first initial sensation of being that close when you hold on to that hug for a little longer, and then, you know, there's that initial hug, right? Oh, hey, it's good to see you. But when you hang into that embrace, you go heart to heart, as you're mentioning, there's this opening that we feel that I would imagine if you weren't expecting it, is a little scary, because we don't talk about just pure affection in our country. We don't teach the healthiness of sharing and expressing affection. So our first thought is quite often, oh, this is sexual. I need to break away. And it's unfortunate that we only have two ways of experience affection, like quick tap, 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 or a sexual embrace. And there's a huge range right in between those two places.
Yeah.
So are you a hugger daily? Do you get your 8 hugs of maintenance a day, do you think?
Well, not 8, but I definitely, earlier today, you know, my husband and I, we always make a point to actually say goodbye and have a little kiss or something, but today I actually gave him a hug. I felt like it was important to give him a hug, and so that 4-8-12 thing, I'm going to do that. I just think that's awesome.
Well, and I think if we really thought about it and put the energy into it, think how much less time we'd have to feel anxious or sad. If we were really focusing on, I want to go for my 12 hugs, I want to share that 12, that would take up a good portion of your day that you probably now spend fretting about things that really aren't important.
Exactly. So that's awesome. I like that.
All right. Well, I hope that you enjoy finding your 12 hugs, and I appreciate you giving us a call today.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Our number is 805-781-3875. And I'm curious about your hugging experiences. Are you making your minimum 4 or your maintenance 8? Have you made time for 12? And really, I think about the effort that it would take to really do 12 phenomenal hugs today. It would take up a good portion of your day. And how will you fit that in? And it doesn't have to be the same long embraced hug. There are actually 15 different hugs that have been identified. And so you might, you know, start off with a from behind hug, which is kind of you go up to someone, you just squeeze them from behind and go, hey, I'm here for you. Or you might be someone who hugs at the waist. That's a very intimate, pulling your loved one or your spouse up close to you, to the waist. Maybe you hug and then give a pat on the back, which is more of that kind of friend hug. Maybe you do the London Bridge hug, as they call it, which is where you're side to side and you just reach one arm around them and one arm on their shoulder. And that's very much kind of a safe arm's length kind of hug. It's very comfortable. It's side to side, not really heart to heart. But maybe you're that strong hugger that you come in and you give someone a strong hug and rub on the back. Maybe you do that hug that lasts, that Carolina was talking about, where you really get heart to heart, that silent expression of love that doesn't require words. Maybe you're a bear hugger who fully wraps your body. Maybe you're into the quick hug. Hey, nice to see you. Nice to have that quick hug. Check out. Maybe you hug and you rest someone's head on your shoulder, or you rest your head on theirs. Maybe you do that straddle hug that you see in the movies where you run up and you jump on the person and hug them. There are a lot of ways to get your 12 hugs. So how are you going to make it? 805-781-3875 is our number. Hey, David, you're on the air.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I'm enjoying your show as always.
Thank you.
In thinking about your question, I'm reminded, I remember how I used to hug and kiss my father. In the last couple of years of his life, as he was drinking himself to death, I would go see him in the bars where he would hang out. And the thought occurred to me that whatever we said to each other during the course of our time would probably not be remembered, perhaps by either one of us, but that a hug and a kiss would be. And so I got very comfortable doing that with my dad whenever we would part, because I wasn't sure whatever else would last. And so that was sort of my introduction to appreciating the benefits of hugging other people.
And the quote that I read earlier talked about that stamping that we do on a cellular level when we connect with
someone.
I heard that, yes. And I picture that with your father, that you carry that imprint. So how has that influenced how you've carried on your life since then?
Well, I have hugged people who I want to hug and who I think are receptive to it. And look forward to that in my interactions with a number of friends. I mean, that's part of, I have one friend in particular, I've known the family forever, and both he and his wife are big huggers, and it's fun. It's fun to do that when we first see each other. I will sometimes spend the weekend with them, and when we've been out of each other's presence for a while, it's a shorthand for acknowledging each other and keeping that good feeling going.
Absolutely. I think having a friend group or a friend, and I guess it's a group, that you kind of have this unspoken hugging ritual with each other is really magic, because it supersedes a lot of words. You don't have to say a lot if you really get in there and embrace in a way where you're both saying, I see you and you matter to me and I can't wait to hug you again.
Yeah, I did appreciate that quote, my wife and I are big huggers too, and I know that's what's going on with us when we do hug.
David, thank you so much for sharing your hug story. What a beautiful memory for you with your father.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy your day. Our number is 805-781-3875. Joy.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Hi, I love your show, and I love hugging. I'm a nurse locally in a hospital, and I've been a nurse for about 17 years. And often I come home and tell my husband how many great hugs I had during my shift and how many people I got to hug and interact with.
And do you initiate the hugs? Is there a policy? As a nurse, I would imagine you want to hug everybody, but is there some?
Well, there is a policy, of course, of appropriate touch. As a nurse, I usually hug people when I feel it will be accepted, warmly accepted. When we're speaking about patients, I also hug coworkers and staff members and visitors. So, you know, I'm sure people who are huggers and people who are not huggers, we get the signal if it's okay or not. We also are giving messages when we hug. Perhaps I'm giving a message of I have empathy with you if you're going through a struggle, or I have your back. I'll be your patient advocate. Tell me what you need the message to be. I'll say it for you. Or just that I feel so honored to be in someone's presence, to care for them, to be their nurse, be a part of their experience. That's a great honor. A hug is a way to communicate that. At work, it's also a way with staff members and coworkers to have camaraderie, team, value each other's presence, happy to see each other at work, happier here. It's going to be a good day, energy.
So where did you acquire this capacity for hugging? Was it your family's way, or did you develop it yourself? How did you find this?
Ironically, I wasn't really raised in a touchy-feely family. I was raised in pretty much a violent family, or a single mother. I was an only child, latchkey kind of kid. And then I ended up in a children's home that had a no-touching policy, except when you were being disciplined, so there was no touching there. And then after I went to high school, I became a massage therapist in Florida. I went to massage school, which I'd never even received a massage. And it was because I needed to have that experience and understand healthy touch,
different types of touch for myself. And then it was a gift of mine. So I became a massage therapist. And then I went to nursing school a few years later. And they together, doing body work and then being a nurse, they just become something that are so intimately connected. The hugging and the touching was just natural for me. And I don't know how to explain it. It was probably massage therapy school that helped me learn about all the kinds of touch and all the messages we send when we're touching or receiving touch from someone else, not just a hug. Mm-hmm. But hugs are great. I love this topic.
No, I love your story. I'm so glad I asked. How has this experience changed you as a person then? How has it made you as an adult?
Well, I was fortunate to be named Joy, and honestly, being called Joy all the time and having an optimistic attitude, being somewhat of an overcomer of things, I think it just built a lot of faith in my life for myself and for others and people in life in general, and the struggle of life and profound pain and long suffering creates a great joy. You have to have one to know the other. And hugging is just a way for me to spread my joy and my love. It's just one of my things. I love it.
I'm so happy
you're having this talk today.
And if I end up in a hospital, please be my nurse. Come find me.
I will need a lot anytime. Of hugs.
Thank you, Joy. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Our number is 805-781-3875. We're talking about hugging, the mental, physical, emotional benefits of good hugs, healthy hugs, appropriate hugs. And we'd be teaching our children, you know, we teach them a lot about preventing stranger danger and not letting someone touch us inappropriately. But do we talk about with our children how to accept good touch, how to be hugged, what it is to feel embraced in a way that is healthy and okay? Are we just teaching fear? Because if love is about opening up and being vulnerable to another person, if we only teach our children to fear others or strangers or experiences, when will they ever learn to experience the vulnerability that comes to really falling in love and trusting another? So I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this. Our number is 805-781-3875. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back to take your calls.
Oh, yeah, I tell you something. I think you'll understand. When I say that something.
You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Have you met your hugging quota today? Angela, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
I'm getting there.
Are you getting there? Well, you're on hold. You could have probably gotten four or five hugs.
Oh, well, I'm in my car, but I'll hug myself if I need a hug.
There you go.
Also, especially when I'm in all self-doubt and I need to give a high five to myself. Mm-hmm. So, I just had this little thought when I was listening. I just recently upcycled a gift card, which I'm really good at. And it's just a simple picture of two bears in a full embrace. Mm-hmm. And it says, you need them, I've got them. And I just love that little thought. So I gave it to someone who definitely needed a hug, and they were very receptive to taking hugs, and it's someone who's not a hugger. So I wanted to share that.
So can you think of, Angela, a time that you've been hugged in a way that was profound, heart-opening?
Oh. Yes, many times. Recently, I went on a trip, and I hadn't seen a long-lost friend for 20-some years, and it was a very long, heartfelt hug, and it was definitely a heart-to-heart, and the head tilt, and just the quiet sigh, and, just that sheer joy and beauty of knowing there's love and safety and peace. And a lot of no words were said, but it was an amazing heartfelt hug.
Mm. And so have you been a hugger all of your life? Did you grow up in a hugging home?
You know, I think I have. I'm the middle child of a very large family. And I think within that spectrum, there were some on the fringe that felt like they may not have got enough. But being the middle, hyperactive, talkative one, I definitely got lots of hugs. Both parents were huggy. I'm going to go down and see my father, and I'm already thinking of how long and what kind of hugs, you know, I'm going to give him. I have a loving husband who is a big hugger, and I'm going to go inside and give him a big, long hug.
I love that. Well, I keep thinking about how we make time to be hugged and how we open ourselves. I wonder if it needs to be part of the curriculum of schools as we get, you know, go through schools, instead of just talking about not touching each other or not reaching out or having these professional boundaries. What if we put that same energy into teaching the healthy ways to connect? Because if there's so much physical benefit to it, why wouldn't we want to teach that?
I think we should. As I started out teaching, and when I was working on my master's in education and doing student teaching, you know, you had those appropriate hugs, the side hug, the pat yourself, pat the one on the head hug, and mm-hmm. depending on their height. And it always felt, you know, it was appropriate because that was what we were told to do and how to approach it, so that there weren't those uncomfortable touchy-feely moments. But it was also very sad because it's like you wanted to hug, and there were kids that just wanted to run up to you and hug you. And, you know, a side hug or a leg hug isn't quite the same.
It's true, and I don't really know how to address that because I, as I'm sure you do, understand the importance of having safety and not having someone, you know, have that boundary broached. But it does break my heart, especially, you know, with the policies already done to preschool, where preschool teachers aren't supposed to hug toddlers anymore. And if we have children that are in daycare for 8 hours a day in a situation where they can't be hugged or to be comforted, what is that teaching them? How is that going to translate moving into their, you know, adolescence and adulthood?
Yeah, I guess I agree. You know, hopefully the deprivation leads them to something like joy. Joy is your last previous caller. Mm-hmm. You know, she transformed her experiences into something amazing, but not all of us have the foresight when we're children. And it is. I don't have the answer for that. It's just hopefully there is more acceptance and love and safety out there.
And I hope you get your 12 hugs today.
I'm going inside right now for a few of them.
Thanks for calling. Have a great day, Angela. Our number is 805-781-3875. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. What makes a good hug? How to give a good hug? What if we just don't even know what that hug looks like? So, Steve, I'm going to walk you through a good hug, okay? Are you ready for that? Steve's producing the show today. Thanks for being here. All right. When you want to give a good hug, the first thing you need to do is go in confidently. And I thought that was interesting. It's if you've made a decision to hug someone, you're feeling that energy, like they're going to accept this hug. You have to do a little reading of the body language. Then go in confidently, because that lets the person know that they are safe and they're going to be held. Because think of it, it's, you know, that kind of a limp handshake when someone goes in and it feels very unsatisfying. And it almost feels a little more awkward and creepy. Well, an uncomfortable limp hug can be the same way. If you kind of half go in and touch the person lightly, like with no certainty, that can feel almost more off-putting than if you just go in with that full, I am committed to this hug. So number one, if you're in for the hug all the way in, no limp hugging. And then put your strength into it. Wrap your arms around and surround the person. Because remember, we're talking about part of the mechanics of a hug is that when you embrace another human, you both are exchanging energy. So you're expanding oxytocin, which is a bonding hormone. You're increasing serotonin and dopamine, which is a mood enhancer. So if you're going to do it, you really have to connect your skin, your body, your arms, your shoulders, so that energy can flow between the two of you. And then how long do you hug? Well, that takes a little bit of sense, body sense, but the idea is that you're supposed to hug until you've taken at least one breath. So you go in for that hug, then you're holding, then you relax enough so that you take a breath. Because if you think about the last time you hugged someone, you kind of hold your breath, right? You kind of get in there and you hold your breath, and then you kind of break apart. But to really get the full benefits of that exchange of energies, you're supposed to stay in that embrace long enough till you both take a breath, or at least you take a breath. And that helps your body kind of sink into that experience. So that breath is a little bit longer than a quick hug, but not so long that it gets a little uncomfortable. So after that breath, then you can break away. Hang on until you can feel your hug partner, and I'll still call it your hug partner, starting to release a little bit, and you can add a little squeeze. Now, as I said at the beginning of the show, I started off today, I gave Hank a big hug, and you want to hug Hank when you see him, because he's just a bear hugging kind of guy. And so today, with a little bit without warning, I hugged him longer than we generally would. And he started to try to release a little bit, but I hugged him even harder. And then he hugged me back. And it was like that moment of, yeah, we've been friends for 10 years and I love you. And today's going to be a great day. And so if you really want to get the most out of that hug, give a little extra squeeze. If your partner starts to pull away really quickly, you know, you might want to honor that and break away as well, because you want to live to hug another day. You don't want to scare someone from never wanting to hug you again. So if you're feeling kind of that nervous resistance, you want to back away. There's other ideas about, you know, what makes a good hug. And as I mentioned before, there are hugs for different occasions. Not every hug you're going to have today is going to be a full embrace hug. So to get your 12 hugs, it might not be the full, you know, 8-second or 20-second bear hug. It might be just a quick, hey, I see you there. Or that from the side shoulder, hey, I'm on your side. You know, there are a lot of ways to kind of get that hug in and still make connections with people throughout the day. 805-781-3875 is our number. And Bob, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I wanted to share two stories real quick about hugs. One
Please
was
do.
I was watching the news the other day, and one of the candidates for president was at a town meeting, and someone in the audience was asking a question with regard to the recent shootings. And I'm not sure if that person actually knew someone involved with it or whatever the case, but it was enough. The story was enough that it was choking up the candidate. And that candidate stopped and looked at that person and said, "Can I give you a hug?" And he walked down off the stage and gave that person a hug. And I thought what I took away with that was that he gave an example of an appropriate time to reach out. So I thought that was pretty cool. Second is that I've been married for 46 years, and over that time, my wife and I have had times where we've disagreed on issues, and my wife always seems to end up saying at the end of the time that we've come to an agreement, she goes, "Now, can I have a hug?" Mm. And so it's that, and you just mentioned it over the years, that there's that appropriate time when that hug was a little bit longer and a little bit more purposeful, because it kind of brought resolve. So those are the two things I just wanted to share.
And Bob, thank you. I want to respond to both, because I like this idea that a leader in our culture was modeling a healthy way to show affection or comfort or care, because last week we talked a lot about the inappropriate way to model how we should be behaving towards each other. And so what would be the remedy for that? And maybe our public figures really do have to model and show us what it is to reach across, because we talk a lot about having that conversation, to talk to other people, hear what they have to say. But as you were talking about with your wife, sometimes you're not going to agree. You're not going to like anything the other person has to say, but that doesn't mean you can't connect as human beings. And maybe sometimes silence is the best, and a hug really is the only appropriate thing in that moment. And maybe that's what we need to model when we talk about healing our cultural divide. Maybe we need less talking and more hugging.
I would agree.
Thank you for calling with both of those stories. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Good program.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. We're talking about hugs, and I am struck by this idea that we can't teach something that we don't know ourselves. So how is your hugging policy yourself? Do you find comfort in the hugs? Are you comfortable opening your heart? Are you capable of being vulnerable? Because to really hug someone, it takes vulnerability, which is interesting, because to truly love someone, you have to be willing to be vulnerable. You have to be a bit fearless. When I was kind of going back over my information about the hugging Aman, I was looking at her website, actually, and she's talking about love, and that pure love really takes fearlessness, that you can't have fear and love at the same time. And so to truly be able to love someone, you have to let go of fear. You have to be vulnerable. You have to walk into this place where there might be hurt or sadness or vulnerability or the unexpected. Heart love means opening yourself to potential sadness. But you can't have great joy, as Joy mentioned earlier, without also being willing to experience great sadness. And so hugging is a step towards that vulnerability that awakens us to the possibility of truly experiencing love. It's not just about the warmth of someone holding you and feeling safe, because love isn't really just about safety. It's about fearlessness, that I may not be safe in loving you because I could get hurt, but I'm going to go for it anyways. And a hug is like the nonverbal way of saying, I love you with all of my might and body. And words cannot express what I have in this moment, but putting our hearts together will. Connie, thanks for waiting. Oh, we lost Connie. Can we try again? Connie, if you're still there, give us a call back so we can hear what you have to say about hugging. Our number is 805-781-3875. If you'd like to be part of the conversation. And one of the things I mentioned, again, from the clinical standpoint is when we lack true hugging, true comfort, true expressions of a skin-to-skin, a body-to-body, heart-to-heart experience, then you can suffer from what we call skin hunger or touch hunger. That our bodies actually crave that connection. You might remember from your high school AP psychology class, the study that was done after World War II is kind of controversial, where they had the rhesus monkeys and they had an option of either being fed a bottle and on a wire body, or they had a cloth cozy body that the monkeys could cuddle with, and the monkeys kept cuddling and giving up food because the touch was so important. And so that led to all these studies on skin hunger and how without appropriate amount of touch, we can suffer from feelings of depression or anxiety or feelings of isolation, also anger. We don't have a place to put, you know, anger and love can ride on that same continuum. And so if you want to do something to reduce the anger and fear that young people are feeling in the world, then maybe hugging is the cure. Maybe all of these young, angry, you know, white men who are picking up arms needed a lot of hugging before, so they didn't get to this point. Skin hunger also shows itself in other ways. You know, when we live in a culture that we learn to deny ourselves our feelings, and one of them would be appetite. So now I'm talking to all the mostly young ladies who learn from a young age to deny their appetites and to deny their desires to feel fed by not eating. Then you also are denying your body's hungers or appetite for feeling love or feeling connection, that source of pleasure in our brain is right next to our hunger and right next to our touch. And so in our brain, when we deny ourselves one thing, which might be touch or might be food, we also kind of lose and shrivel up in our ability to connect with others in deeper ways. And so how do we start honoring our own desires to feel touched and feel loved? I don't think you can run up to a stranger today and hug them or throw yourself at them. But as Joy and as my other callers were talking about, Angela was talking about, you can kind of sense when there's a hug that's about to happen. And that's why it's okay to say, hey, can I give you a hug? And sometimes people might be a little surprised, but sometimes they say, yes, absolutely. And then so you start off slow. Hug those people at home. You know, hug them a little longer than they're used to, because that would be okay. Hug your teenage kids much longer than they want you to, because that will soften their heart. That will help them. Because, you know, you divide, you disconnect from your teenagers, because part of their job towards adulthood is to start to become autonomous, to start to push away. And so they're as a lot of conflict. You might find yourself having lots of fights with your kids as they're going into adolescence. Everything you say seems to bug them. But if you say nothing and you just hang on to them, you can say volumes. And you can also help them move through this kind of awkward period of their lives where they need that touch, they need that connection, but they're not sure how to reach out and get it. And quite often their behavior not only keeps them from feeling loved, but it pushes away potential love. Remember the last time you had an angry confrontation with someone that you love, maybe a teenager or a coworker or a friend or your spouse, whoever that was. And the words just made things get worse. And if you hadn't tried to solve that situation with words, if you hadn't tried to talk your way through it, if you had just become quiet and said, you know what, maybe hugging's all we've got right now, and then you just quietly hug. Maybe you just fall asleep hugging. Maybe you hug them and hug them until they fall asleep. Maybe you keep hugging that adolescent, and then you just walk away. And you don't try to say, I love you, make you love me. You know, sometimes words get in our way. And then just as a side note, it is important not to force hugs from young children. Quite often we'll say, give grandma a hug or give Uncle Bob a hug, and the child will hesitate. We don't want to start confusing boundaries. We want to allow children to naturally follow those instincts. And so we have this kind of duplicity, this two sides we have to pay attention to. The healthy hugging, that affection, how do we show it in a way that's warm and safe and open and available? How do we make ourselves available to be hugged? You need to show with your body language that you are receptive to someone hugging you. And then at the same time, how do we honor for our children or for others that sometimes they don't want to be forced to hug? Don't force a hug on your children. So this has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You can be part of the conversation by sending me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. Follow us on our Facebook page. Find me on my Instagram, elizabeth_TRT. Listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. Share the show with others. Podcast the show. Spread the word. Spread it with hugs. As always, I appreciate being part of your day and a part of our conversation. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back again next week to share the love, share the story, and share the conversation.
But the world